Opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. Welcome to your Life Progress Guide, a one-hour healthy living show that brings it all together. Your mental health, your emotional health, and of course your physical health. We'll guide you to achieving your life goals, finding your dream career, overcoming adversity when your life is on a roller coaster. Your Life Progress Guide. On the web at yourlifeprogressguide.com. And now, here is your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello, and I welcome you to our show today. Wealth management, we're talking about understanding and managing risks. Retirement planning and long-term care are the topics today. With us is Catherine Avery, president of Catherine Avery Investment Company from New Canaan. She is a private portfolio manager. Welcome, Catherine. How are you?
Thanks, Marietta.
Okay. And Philip Loveless. He is a financial planner for over 20 years. He's with LMPG Wealth Management Group. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have both of you. Great. And I'd like to remind our listeners, our phone lines are open, and feel free to call us at 203-661-5051. Feel free to call in, ask us any questions that you might have, or be part of our conversation. So, and let's just get started. We start. For our listeners who do not know what risk management is all about and what types of risk we're talking about today, I'd like to go into details. And we'll start with Phil.
Okay, the risk management's a very broad category, obviously. There are lots of types of risk in life. There are risks that are, focused more on your money. And then there are also risks that focus on your life. And I think wealth management, a part of wealth management, as opposed to investment management, is taking into account how these life risks can have financial impact in your life. And what do you do, what strategy do you employ in order to prevent or mitigate any of those unforeseen circumstances happening to you so that your financial situation can remain stable for yourself and for your loved ones? So when we're talking about financial risks, there's obviously business risk if you're involved in your own business. If you have an investment portfolio, there's certainly market risk. And obviously over the last several weeks, we've seen a lot to do with market risk in terms of the gyrations and roller coaster we've been on with the stock market. There's liquidity risk, not having enough cash on hand to deal with emergencies that come up. Financial risk in terms of a business going out of business because of the economy or what have you. There's a risk to your dollar. Every day your dollar is losing value because of inflation. So this is called purchasing power risk. Mm-hmm. Or another term for that is inflation risk. So those are kind of the risks that myself as well as Catherine deals with on a daily basis in managing and guiding people with their financial affairs.
I know Catherine wanted to speak specifically on purchasing power risks. So you have the floor.
All right. Thanks, Marietta. Inflation risk is probably one of the biggest risks that we face, especially for the baby boomers coming up in the next several years. People automatically think that as they get older in their life and they start to approach retirement, that the first thing that they should do is take their assets and make them much more conservative. Well, by doing that, we have to really make sure that we're leaving some of our assets that are appreciating at a rate that will be able to outperform inflation. Bonds typically do not outperform inflation, so it's great that we might be receiving that monthly or quarterly accrual in the interest. But in the end game, we're not going to be able to buy things. We're not going to be able to take the vacations we wanted to take. We're not going to be able to have that money in our later years in life. I have a particular client who they have about $1 million, and that's all the money they have. And they've saved up for their retirement since they were in their 20s. And at one point, they felt like they were pretty wealthy because they had this $1 million. But then they realized that at this point in time, in order to continue to do the things that they're doing, they need to make it last a lot longer. Mm-hmm. So what we've done for them as they're starting to near their retirement in the next 2 or 3 years, we've slowly taken that portfolio and invested more in dividend-paying type stocks. So they're at the same time getting growth, but they're receiving an income stream from those assets. And once they get to retirement, then we could start talking about maybe adding a couple of bonds to that portfolio to lessen that risk even further.
I just had this thought. How do you get $1 million? How many years do you have to put X number of dollars aside in order to get $1 million? How does something like that work? You're laughing at me, but probably a lot of people wonder, well, how can that this be done?
Well, yeah? The best way to do it, Marietta, is to really start saving for your retirement as soon as possible. When you get that first job, open up an IRA account or take advantage of your company's 401k plan, and you'd be amazed how over the years how that money can compound. Don't think, you know, this is my first paycheck, it's my first job, I'm going to go out and have a good time. Yes, it's great to go out and have a good time, but you really need to put that money aside and save it. Now, it comes right out of your paycheck, you won't even see it happening.
Right, because what I'm thinking, somebody who is under 30, maybe they're 24 years old, they have much other life focuses than somebody who's a little older. Mm-hmm. So how can you talk to somebody who's 25, or for that matter 29, to save for retirement? Because they haven't even lived their life yet. Yeah, mm-hmm. For what is important for them? To have the job, a paycheck, maybe start a family soon, maybe buy a house. They all, people have different needs. So how do you really get people to save, to put money aside on a consistent basis?
Well, it's talking to them about the different advantages of those 401k and IRA plans. Most 401k plans will allow you to take a loan, for instance, from it in order to put a down payment on a house. If your children need to go to college later on, you can use those monies for helping your child go to college. So it's really not just about retirement. It's also about being able to use that money for other things in your life that as they come up.
But you have to pay it back, Phil. We had a situation like that off the air where we talked about a particular project, and the woman ran into problems with her house, got behind in her payments, and she had a lot of money sitting in that 401k. And, you know, she wanted to take money out of there to bail her out of the house. She ended up selling the house anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you have to pay it back. Let's say you take $80,000 or $100,000 out of that 401k, you have to pay it back. And how do you have to pay it back? By a certain time also?
It depends on what you borrowed it for. If it's to purchase a house, you can extend it longer. If it's not, it's like 5 years. But if you use it for a home, you can extend that repayment to 10 years. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a great fan of taking loans against your retirement assets, only if it's the absolute only place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to your first question, though, teaching young people to pay themselves first, that their first line on the budget is their future, and getting them to set aside a certain percentage and then living within the means that's left.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a good way to do that is the 401k, because it comes out of your paycheck before they get their hands on it to spend. So that's why Catherine's talking about that. But it's the same concept, you know, pay yourself first and over time. Now, there's other ways you can get $1 million. You could also hit the lotto. Or you could also inherit the money from your wealthy parents. So,
yes.
But other than that, saving and having disciplined savings and investment habits at a young age is very important. I've done retirement seminars, investment seminars for years, and many of the clients that come to see me after the seminar, this is after 3 or 4 weeks of spending one day a week together, they say, oh, if I had only come and taken this seminar when I was 25 or 30, I'm going to get my kids, you know. But very few kids show up at the seminar. You know, they still, you know, like you said, they're struggling with, you know, living today and enjoying themselves.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Marietta, you know, it also starts at home, too, and having the parents educate the children about saving for their future and the benefits of having these retirement plans. You know, if parents could sit down with their children and say, look what we've done over the years. Look how many years it's taken us to achieve this amount of money. And the same thing can happen for you if you start at an early age in life. So that education really has to start in the home and at a young age.
At my particular house, it was a big secret. Monies were not discussed. And I was never educated in my home how to really work with money. So money was a big secret, and probably a lot of homes, people are not discussing, parents are not discussing their funds, their monies with their children, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's more the norm than not. It's unfortunate, but that's true. I think that the education system in this country should take a hard look at, you know, providing more specific and practical education on finance and money at a young age than they currently do. Hmm. I mean, they have, you know, classes on all types of things, but, you know, where's the class on money management and the stock market and things like that? It doesn't exist
right.
that much in elementary or even high school. It should.
You have three children. You have three sons, right?
No, two boys and a girl.
Two boys and a girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, how did you go about educating your children? Because they're in their 20s already, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, I just basically taught them the basics that they need to, you know, live within their means and make sure that they develop a saving ethic as they start to earn a living. They're not quite there yet. They're still in college, so I'm still just trying to drill it into their heads at this point.
Yeah, because it's just something so true. You repeat what you were exposed to.
Right.
And in my case, it was zero, and I did the same thing with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It so ended up, she's really great profession. They really put monthly monies away, I mean really big time. You know, for their retirement, for their whatever they want to do with their house and so forth. So she learned outside of the home. So a lot of people are in that position, right?
Right.
Catherine, you were saying about your one particular client.
Yes. We were talking about how we shift the portfolios to address the risk of being able to have that purchasing power later on. In their retirement years, to be able to keep up the lifestyle that they have and the vacations and all the fun things that they like to do, playing golf, et cetera. And so, as I said, we shifted the portfolio to more dividend-oriented stocks. As they get maybe a little bit closer to retirement, we'll probably add a little bit more bonds into that portfolio, but always have some part of that component that's going to be able to outperform inflation for them.
Mm-hmm. Question, what happens where you have people that are getting divorced or people have problems with their work, they lose jobs and so forth, do they then dip into the portfolio? What is your experience? Because what happens is we put monies aside, we invest them, you mm-hmm. manage it for them, but let's say some major things happen mm-hmm. in people's lives.
Right.
What happens then to that portfolio? How is that... What is your experience?
You know, every case is different. Sometimes when people lose their jobs, they have severances, so they're able to live off of that for a period of time. In extreme cases where, you know, people are out of work for several years and you have to dip into the portfolio, you make subtle changes to help them through this period of time. You try to get them a little bit more income from the portfolio. You try not to disrupt the entire integrity of the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And then this way, when they go back to work, you're able to go back to that original plan that you set out for them.
Right. But isn't that also what we're talking about when a portfolio manager works with an insurance professional, that we're looking at that area to cover those risks, those personal risks?
Yeah, they're not every risk. I mean, unemployment, there's no... You know, there's no
right
except for a government
program. Exactly, right.
Yeah, but things like disability and someone is injured or sick and cannot work and cannot earn income, obviously, either through their group plan at work or on their own individual basis, that's what those policies are designed to do, to replace income. And, I mean, most insurance for risk management for the life risk is focused on income replacement, you know, whether it be through disability or someone dies and the breadwinner is no longer there. You know, that's very important. There's other uses for insurance as well in terms of life insurance as opposed in kind of an estate planning arena where the insurance plays a vital role in providing liquidity or a way to pay for taxes so that the integrity of the assets, not just the investment portfolio, but the real estate, the business interests, can pass down to the future generation without having to be sold at a fire sale because of an estate situation. So there are many, many uses for insurance besides income replacement, but the primary one is income replacement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Catherine, I'd like to touch base on risk tolerance.
Risk tolerance, it is a fancy word for how much are you able to lose in the market? What are you comfortable with? And There's many ways we can determine that. We can determine it through asking a client a series of questions and getting an idea of what their current financial situation is like and where they would like to be in the future. But the real test of someone's risk tolerance is actually experiencing volatile markets, which we've experienced in the past couple of weeks. I always ask my clients, what would be a comfortable loss for you if you want to be invested in the stock market? Are you comfortable with 10%? Are you only comfortable with 5%? Are you comfortable with 15 to 25%? And usually they'll give me some sort of an answer, but it's not until we hit these markets that we find out where people really fit. For example, the stock market's off about 10% this year, and I have clients who thought that they were able to handle a 10% drop in the market, but all of a sudden they're not really able to handle that 10%. So one of the things that we do is we try to manage that by having different asset classes for the client. We have exposure to stocks, we have exposure to bonds, and something called what I consider a cash or money market funds, so that if the market's down 10%, maybe their portfolio is only down 7%, and that makes them feel a little bit more comfortable.
Phil, what do you say to that?
Oh, I agree. It's about balance and diversification, having exposure to different asset classes, because if you look at all these asset classes that you have the opportunity to invest in, they don't all move in the same direction. So one of the key elements of creating a sound, balanced portfolio is creating that type of recipe to make sure that if the markets get volatile, that clients don't have as much risk as is in the market and they're able to ride it out. I went to see a client on Monday, and they were quite concerned. They have a lot of money in the market, in their portfolio. And they were expecting a bad report, and they were only down 1%. They said to me, well, how's this so? I said, well, most of your money's in bonds because you don't need to take a lot of risk because you have way much more money than you spend in relation to what you spend. I designed a portfolio to be very consistent and very stable in these types of markets. So they were very pleased. So that's an example of how through proper asset allocation, diversification, you can not eliminate risk, but you can control risk. And it's also about controlling or advising people their expectations, keeping their expectations realistic. You know, during the 90s, everyone was looking for 30% returns every year because everything was going through the roof. Yeah. And that was just never, ever sustainable.
Great. I think we're going to take a quick break. And thank you for tuning in to 1490 WGCH, your Life Progress Guide.
YourLifeProgressGuide.com was sponsored by KMAREducation.org. That's KMAREducation.org.
From the WGCH Traffic Center, well, this afternoon, looks like we've got a bit of a slow ride on the Hutchinson Parkway north in Pelham near Wolf's Lane. That's an accident being cleared. You get up onto the Merritt Parkway, not bad through Greenwich, but it will slow down farther up the line at Fairfield, a crash at exit 44. Connecticut Turnpike crowds up north at exit 13 to 14 and southbound near the Darien Rest Area with a crash cleared. Metro North on time. Arrival delays at Newark and LaGuardia, and I'm Matt Ward, 1490 WGC.
Here is the WGCH Weather Center forecast brought to you by TomTom. Go confidently. With its exclusive MapShare technology, TomTom is the only GPS device that gives you the world's most up-to-date maps. TomTom. Go confidently.
Updated weather forecast for tonight, fair to mostly clear but cold. Lows falling into the upper teens. Weather for Thursday, sunny conditions. Highs middle 30s. Next storm moves in Thursday night. Looks like rain for Friday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr., Weather Center forecast for 1490 WGCH.
Every Friday morning at 10, join Russ Pruner and Bill Anders for the Live in Greenwich Real Estate Hour. Along with regular features and market updates, invited guest experts will be available to answer your questions on various topics important to real estate in Greenwich. That's the Live in Greenwich Real Estate Hour, presented every Friday morning at 10 by Gentry Capital Services, a full-service mortgage broker, and the law firm of Ivy Barnum & O'Mara on 1490 WGCH.
And we're back. I'm Marietta Kammerer here in the studio with Catherine Avery from Catherine Avery from Avery Investment Group in New Canaan. Catherine is a private investment portfolio manager. And also in the studio is Phil Lovelace. He is a financial planner with LMPG Wealth Management Group. Thank you for being here today, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think we're going into the retirement planning category.
Yeah. Over the years I've been doing this kind of work, almost invariably the central theme of everyone's financial plan is always retirement. And it's changed a lot in the 20 years I've been doing this. People are retiring younger. They're redefining what they do in retirement. So we've had to adjust and change quite a bit than when we first started out in dealing with our clients. But I think with retirement planning, the critical thing is there's two phases to retirement planning. There's pre-retirement accumulation planning. In other words, how do I build up my nest egg to the point where I can achieve financial independence and stop working because I have enough money, enough sources of income to retire? But that's only half of it. The next issue is, how do I manage things and what are the strategies that I need to employ after I retire in terms of making sure my money lives as long as I do and dealing with the various risks that come into play, such as long-term care and inflation, that can have a huge impact on the quality of your retirement. And the strategies are very different in accumulation versus what we call income distribution, the income distribution phase of a plan. And my practice focuses around people that have kind of already gotten to the place where they're just ready to retire or just started to retire, and I really specialize in the distribution phase of that planning, how to make sure their sources of income are coordinated, how to make sure that they don't outlive their money, how to make sure they cover their risks that could spoil the party. The two major risks in retirement are long-term convalescence in a facility or using home health care, and inflation. You know, the purchasing power risk that Catherine talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Catherine, before we got on the air, we talked about this one particular project, and it's on number one on my list. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that client a little bit, the individual, what that person who was up in his 80s, what his concern and his need was?
Right. I have a client who, in his early 80s, retired, has a substantial amount of wealth. But his individual persona was such that he always wanted to remain conservative. His portfolio should consist more of municipal bonds, some international exposure. But he was dead set on having large cap companies that pay dividends, and treasury notes. And no matter how many times I sat and talked to this person, said, you know, you really should have those muni bonds. You really could use that tax break. He would say, you know, I know, but this is what I'm comfortable with. And people should also know that there's a balance between having a certain amount of risk and understanding what they're comfortable with. And it's okay for people to be a little bit more conservative if that's what they're comfortable with, because the most important thing is that people have peace of mind and that they can sleep at night.
And he was not concerned about his health at all?
He was not concerned about his health
at
all.
Good for him. I mean, our president, he goes skydiving at age 84.
Really?
So we're not our president, the father, Mr. Bush.
That's right.
He skydives at age 83. So his health was not his concern, because I was thinking about long-term care. That was something to approach him with. Mm-hmm. But that was not on his agenda, right?
Not on his agenda.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I think some parts of it is also a little bit of a generational type of thing. I think that generation was always of the mindset that somebody in the family is going to take care of you. Hopefully, it seems to be pretty worked out that he's going to be okay and he can afford to have in-home care. And, it's everybody's individual decision what they want to leave to their children. And that's always a big part of discussions with clients, you know. How do you want to leave your legacy? Do you want to leave money to your children? How much do you want to leave to your children? Do you want to gift some of that money to your grandchildren now before you go? A lot of people feel that they want to give it to their children and their grandchildren while they're still alive, because they want to see them enjoy the fruits.
My dad
of their
did
gift.
That, but a year before he died, he started doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very common strategy, especially with some of the college funding plans. You can give away more than the annual gift exclusion quicker because of some provision in the law that allows you to do that. Could I backtrack a little bit? I'd like to explain to you a little bit about how I look at a person when they come in to retire.
Mm-hmm.
We look at their retirement in basically three segments. There's their what I would call their base income need that they need to cover their fixed expenses,
mm-hmm.
and then there's their discretionary expenses. And the third element is their risk management. How do they protect themselves? But and there's a very logical strategy to this. We take a look at, let's say, for instance, a client needs $10,000 a month to live, and $6,000 of that is fixed, the mortgage, everything that they have to pay, whether they like it or not. Okay, we want to have that covered by guaranteed income streams. Typically, there are three sources of guaranteed income: pension, if you're fortunate enough to have a pension, Social Security, and the third category is an annuity, which you can purchase on your own to create a guaranteed lifetime income. So if that, if we have those covered by the $6,000 is covered by that, then we take a look at the other discretionary expenses, and that's what was handled by your portfolio, because you have the ability to adjust that spending according to how the market is doing with your portfolio. If your portfolio is doing well, you can afford to spend more in your discretionary side. If the market's not doing well, you can cut that back. But I want to make sure when someone retires that their base fixed expense is covered by guaranteed income sources that are going to be there for the rest of their life, that they know every month they're going to have a check that covers those things with some inflation protection as well. And there's ways of doing that. Some people are fortunate enough just to have that covered by pension and Social Security. But if that's not the case, there are other vehicles that you can use to create that base of security.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the biggest thing that people want in retirement is peace of mind, to know that they're not going to have to sell their home, they're not going to have to run out of money. And these strategies are very, very important to put into place.
Right. What do we do in a case when we have a scenario where people were married for 30 years and all of a sudden they decided to get a divorce? How do you handle something like that where they have joint savings, portfolio, everything? What happens then? Have you had cases like that?
Yeah, but we don't really get involved until the dust is settled.
After the lawyers are finished with them.
Right.
And then we see what they have left over.
That's right. I mean, there's not a lot you can do.
Right. Especially, let's say, a scenario where somebody was married for 35 years and they got a divorce. Wife ends up with $800,000 cash in the house, and she hasn't been in the workforce all these years, so she might be close to 60. Mm-hmm. So, of course, a lot of people would like to get a hold of that $800,000 and invest it for her, but what happens if that person really doesn't know what direction they want to go into? And that's most likely the case, because when you've been, as a woman, been out of the workforce for a long time, so what do you do? So the money is parked right now.
They really shouldn't start with where to put the money. They should start with what are your goals, what are your plans,
right.
What is your long-term strategy for your life, and then how does that money going to help support that? You could go to a bank and they say, oh, you've got this money, and yeah, okay, we've got all these different vehicles you can put it in. But to me, that's like putting the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm,
you need
right.
to have a plan. You need to have a blueprint. You need to understand what you're trying to accomplish. You could have five different women or men, it could be the man too, in the same scenario. And all of the plans would be different because of what they plan to do, what their needs are, what their comfort levels are. That's why financial planning is so critical. It's like the blueprint for building your financial future or your home. If you're going to build a new home, you got a nice piece of land, you don't go to Home Depot and start buying materials. You go to an architect and develop a blueprint first. So that's my answer to that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent answer. Catherine, you work with a lot of women as well.
Right.
And both of you really use the holistic approach. Could you talk a little bit about what you can do for women, especially women that have, went through a divorce
mm-hmm.
or somebody who has never been married? What type of scenarios can you give us? What can you do for women?
Well, first I want to say I totally concur with what Phil is saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to figure out what those base fixed expenses are first before you can even possibly move forward. But I find what I'm able to offer, especially women, is the ability to listen to them and to help educate them, especially for the ones who didn't have any exposure to the family's finances in the past years. explain what the difference is between a stock and a bond, how they work in different markets, what they can expect from working with a financial advisor, the need to have a diversified portfolio, the proper asset allocation, also how we smartly rebalance a portfolio.
Excuse me for interrupting you. I think the message that I like to give women is, yes, we're always part of the decision-making when something changes in your household, but we may not be involved in the position, in the process of making long-term goals. In my research, mm-hmm. I read that. Mm-hmm. Have you found that majority of what I can't understand why. I mean, this doesn't apply to me,
right.
But a lot of women may not be part of that process, long-term planning.
I have heard that. It hasn't been my experience mm-hmm. With my client base. The women in my business tend to be much more, I wouldn't say aggressive, but a little bit more, even if they're not interested, they understand the need to
exactly.
be involved.
Exactly. That's the
so
point.
So you don't always have to be interested. It's like one of those things that you have to do whether you like it or not. We all don't like going to the dentist, but you know what? We go a couple of times a year to keep our teeth healthy.
Right.
And the same thing has to be applied with finances and, you know, working out a plan with your spouse. It should be, you know, what is everybody's goals in that holistic approach?
Right, right.
So that you can all move forward on the same page.
Mm-hmm. We finished that right after the break. Thank you for tuning in to 1490 WGCH, your Life Progress Guide. We'll be right back.
YourLifeProgressGuide.com was sponsored by KMAREducation.org. That's KMAREducation.org.
Here is the WGCH Weather Center forecast brought to you by Macy's. Treat yourself. Redeem the Macy's gift card you received and get the perfect gift. It's happy holidays all over again from Macy's.
Updated weather forecast for tonight, fair to mostly clear but cold. Lows falling into the upper teens. Weather for Thursday, sunny conditions. Highs middle 30s. Next storm moves in Thursday night. Looks like rain for Friday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr., Weather Center forecast for 1490 WGCH.
It's happening in Greenwich, and you want to be heard on the subject. Where do you turn? To the WGCH Informative Issues and Answers show, Greenwich Matters. Heard every Thursday night at 6 for 2 full hours. Host Sam Romeo will keep you up to date on the political scene in Greenwich, along with decisions made at the state and federal levels that impact Greenwich. And, of course, he'll take your calls at 661-5051. That's Greenwich Matters, every Thursday night at 6 on 1490 WGCH.
We are back. I'm Marietta Camera. I'm your Life Progress Guide host, and I welcome today Catherine Avery, president of Catherine Avery Investment Company from New Canaan. Nice to have you here in the studio.
Thank you.
And our Philip Loveless. He's a financial planner with LMPG Wealth Management Group. Hello.
Yes, in Brewster, New York.
In Brewster, New York. Hello, Brewster, New York. Now, Phil, here's the question. We're living longer than previous generations in their family. Can we afford these extra years? You're the man. You got the holistic approach.
Well, I think, again, getting back to having a income distribution plan once you retire is critical. You know, a lot of people are good at accumulating wealth and have a lot of wealth when they retire, but they're very reluctant to change their strategies or their temperament when they shift into this different phase of life. And that's some of the challenge I face in dealing with some of the clients. Is there an unwillingness to change? But having said that, if you can lay out a good strategy for them, a lot of them will see the logic of that and do that. One of the biggest fears that I come across, well, there's two fears in retirement. One is, do I have enough money to live for, you know, as long as I live? And number two is, what happens if one of us gets sick and has to have an expensive home health care or go into a facility? And that's very critical. Things to think about. I talked about the strategy before of having guaranteed income to cover your fixed expenses. And one of the strategies is using an annuity. Now, annuities have been bloodied in the press for many years because of various reasons. But today's environment has changed dramatically since the early 2000s, where new types of annuities have been created that have kind of eliminated all the negatives of past annuities, but giving still the security and the protection that are there. So that's one strategy that I like to use for a certain piece of the portfolio. The other thing is long-term care. Obviously, there's three things you can do with long-term care. You can self-insure, or you can shift the risk in two possible ways. You can use traditional insurance, which is basically you go and buy X amount of dollars per month for a certain premium, and you pay that until, you know, you either die or you need the coverage and you get the benefit. The third way is to take a part of your assets and purchase something called a single premium life combo policy with long-term care. So really all you're doing is shifting assets from the bank into this contract. It provides a death benefit if something were to happen to you and you never used the long-term care. So your heirs will always get the money back plus a multiple. If you need it for long-term care, it will provide regular benefits just like a traditional policy. And if you ever change your mind, you can get the 100% of the money back at any time. So it's kind of eliminated the issue that a lot of people have with traditional long-term care, where you pay and you pay and you pay.
Exactly.
And you never use it, and then one that benefited is the insurance company.
Right.
So what I'm finding is I call this enlightened self-insurance. Let's say you figured for long-term care you might need to budget $400,000. So you set $400,000 aside in the bank to protect yourself. Well, you can take a portion of that, maybe $100,000, create $400,000 of long-term care benefit, guarantee that always your family is going to win one way or the other, and now you freed up the other $300,000 for other reasons, for other uses.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my clients who've kind of shunned away from traditional insurance and have kind of decided to self-insure are now taking a look at this different approach of just making a shift in assets, creating this pool of protection, ensuring that their family's always going to win, and that's becoming much more popular today.
Now, this has been on the market for about 5 years, 5-6 years?
Well, yeah, in various states, even longer than that. But
really?
Yeah, in New York, it just became available in New York recently. But in Connecticut, it's been available for about 5 years. There are several companies that sell it. I'm not going to go into specific companies.
No, no, no.
We won't discuss that. But there are some that are better contracts than others.
So what do you do with all the long-term care contracts out there, where people are keep paying and they end at age 60?
Well, not everyone can afford to do the single premium because it requires a substantial deposit.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about the normal in an apostrophe, long-term care contracts, where you pay every month, you pay a premium, and at age 65, I think it ends?
No.
The normal. Not the one with a single premium. The regular ones.
No, they go well into your 80s.
Oh, they do?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
And
that.
It's probably, if you can afford the premium, it's probably better to have that than not to have anything. The one that I'm talking about is specifically for more affluent clients that have kind of said, well, I'll take the risk myself, and I'll absorb that risk because I have enough money to do that. This other approach is kind of a way of doing that and actually freeing up other dollars for other uses and still providing the protection.
I thought it was a terrific idea when you first told me about it.
It's very popular.
The next show, when we'll be doing a lot of wealth management and long-term care programs. This is terrific.
Yeah.
This is really terrific. Mm-hmm. But maybe something wasn't quite clear. What's still out on the market is the normal long-term care policies,
mm-hmm.
where you buy... first of all, it goes by your age.
Mm-hmm.
What does it go by? By your age and how much benefit you buy.
That's correct.
So,
and for how long is the benefit?
For how long the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And do you want a cost of living rider on there, or do you want just a flat benefit?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for instance, somebody is in a program like that for 5 years now, and they're up till age 65, they have to pay in. And then maybe it ends, they get nothing back. So what do we do? What do we advise people what they should do with contracts like that? They already paid in 5 years. What do we do?
Well, you have to take a look at the alternatives and see if it makes sense to switch or not.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you have the funds available to make that change as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone has that. I mean,
exactly.
I would say this is for people that have $1 million in assets or more. Probably that's some people with less than that would still find it attractive. But I think that's kind of the threshold. People lower than that may not have the resources to do it and may be limited to a traditional policy, which is still better than nothing. Because mm-hmm. if you have less money, you have more risk.
Right.
And more to protect. You know.
Now, Catherine, in your practice,
yes.
What are some of the thoughts that people that are having a portfolio and where you see they have not allocated any funds specifically for long-term care. How do you handle something like that?
Well, any discussion when you're first meeting a client centers around, what is their whole financial plan look like? And that always includes insurance, trusts, wills, and investments. So there's always that question, what type of insurance do you have, and do you think you have enough? There's not too many people yet who have the long-term care insurance, but it's certainly becoming more and more on people's minds, especially as many of the baby boomers are experiencing going through taking care of their parents.
I know.
And they see how difficult it is to take care of them, the need to have living in-house care for them. And the thought is now turning to, well, I've already done this for my parents. What should I be doing for myself?
Oh, yeah, you have parents that are... My parents passed away. So I, pretty soon... I'm a baby boomer.
Right, right.
But, my daughter, mm-hmm. They would have to think about that. But
another thing about that, too, is if... we just had a client come in their mid-50s, and we took a look at one of these kind of single premium contracts. And the amount of benefit you can buy at a younger age... In other words, you don't have to put as much in to create a lot of benefit. So there is a certain advantage of dealing with the issue earlier rather than later. And, of course, you need to have money to do that. Mm-hmm. But that's a critical factor. The longer you wait to put something in place, just the more expensive it's going to get, whether you use traditional or the single premium approach.
I have found in my financial practice, when you have somebody in their 40s, 45, 50, and they have assets, they're willing to listen to you because they have something really to lose. Right. But anything under 40 couldn't really find an open ear for it. The same with income protection, disability. I don't know what it is, but a lot of people, they never get sick. Nothing will ever happen to them. It's just in the mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's just so easy when you talk to several people. It's so easy. You hear this one, that one, this one had a stroke, this one had a heart attack, right in there when they had their best work years. Yeah. So, but I would say people that are 40s and up that have assets, they have an open ear for you. They really do. And they appreciate it, too, if you really, stay on top of it,
No, absolutely. It's malpractice, in my opinion, not to discuss these issues with someone that's preparing for retirement or heading into retirement. Mm-hmm. It's got to be discussed in a strategy, whether it be to absorb risk or shift risk, and then what are the different options with that. You just have, it's one thing to have lots of money and accumulate a lot of wealth, but it can go right out the back door if you don't have yourself protected.
That's exactly what I want to talk about after we come back. No matter how much money you have, if you don't put in strategies to protect yourself, it can go quicker than one thinks. So let me go for a break. Thank you for tuning in to 1490 WGCH, your Life Progress Guide.
YourLifeProgressGuide.com was sponsored by KMAREducation.org. That's KMAREducation.org.
From the WGCH Traffic Center, well, this afternoon, the Hutchinson Parkway gets better north in Pelham, an accident cleared. You get onto the Merritt Parkway, not bad for Greenwich. It starts to slow down up around Fairfield with an accident gone. Now, the Connecticut Turnpike has delays south through Darien and northbound side through Darien and Norwalk. Post road traffic's fine. Our Metro North train's in good shape. Arrival delays at Newark and LaGuardia airports. And I'm Matt Ward on 1490 WGC.
Here is the WGCH Weather Center forecast brought to you by H&R Block. H&R Block has more than 110,000 tax professionals and over 12,000 offices. Put any one of them to work for you. Call 1-800-HR-BLOCK or visit YouGotPeople.com today.
Updated weather forecast for tonight, fair to mostly clear but cold. Lows falling into the upper teens. Weather for Thursday, sunny conditions, highs middle 30s. Next storm moves in Thursday night, looks like rain for Friday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr., Weather Center forecast for 1490 WGCH.
Marietta Kammer here. Thank you for tuning in today's show. Wealth management, understanding management risk, retirement, long-term care. I have in the studio with me Catherine Avery, president of Catherine Avery Investment Company from New Canaan. She's a private portfolio manager. and also Philip Lovelace, financial planner for over 20 years, and he's from LMPG Wealth Management Group in Brewster, New York. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge with us. And we'd like to go, Philip, like to go into estate planning. He wants to share a case with us.
Yeah, well, wealth management also includes, like Catherine said earlier, legacy planning. There's one case, a client of mine that I was referred to, and elderly couple in their late 70s, and was with a major big six accounting firm in Manhattan. And I asked him, well, when was the last time that they reviewed your estate plan? And he looked at me with kind of a blank face and said, how about never? And between his own personal assets and trust assets, upwards of $40 million. And we took some very simple strategies. We created a private foundation to leave most of their residual estate into a private family foundation, except what they're able to pass through exemption, so that the kids would be able to manage that private foundation for charity. And then we replaced that wealth that we were putting into the foundation with a large life insurance policy in an existing trust, so that the kids would get the money back through the insurance proceeds in an existing trust. Really simple design, not really complicated, but very effective in reducing estate taxes and keeping the money that would have already gone to the government in Washington in the community, with the children being in charge of how that money is used. Mm-hmm. And then the kids got the money back through the insurance proceeds in the trust. So when we went over this, he looked at me and had a little gleam in his eye, and he just said, very clever.
How can people reach you, Phil?
They can call me on my business phone, 845-278-5470, or they can reach me through the web at my email, Philip. Philip.Lovelace at lfg.com.
Yeah, you seem to really have a great wealth of knowledge and experience behind you. Same with Catherine. Catherine has been a private portfolio manager for over 25 years, and I know you have a few things to say about what Phil just said.
Yes, Mary, I just really wanted to leave people with, you know, five things that they can take away from this meeting of how to successfully manage their risk in their portfolios in this volatile time in the market. And the first is, know what type of risk you can tolerate, what types of losses in the market can you sustain. Two, always focus on the long term. Three, keep your portfolio well diversified. And four, use smart rebalancing. Buy low and sell high. I know everyone wants to, you know, run for the hills when the markets are down at these levels, but they generally represent good buying opportunities. And number five, get some good advice if you're not sure what to do.
Now, and how would you like to be contacted?
I can be reached at 203-966-2712, mm-hmm. or my website is www.CatherineAveryInvest.com, and that's Catherine with a C.
And when you go on our website, yourlifeprogressguide.com, and you go under About Us, you will be able to read in detail about our guests as well. And in case you don't have anything to write, their telephone number and so forth. So just remember yourlifeprogressguide.com, and our guests will be on our websites as well. Now, I also like to announce that for the very near future, you will see us as well in local communities giving presentations in various places, which we will be announcing. So we can really bring this home and be an advocate for long-term care. So, Philip, what would you like to say to that?
Well, I think that just in life, the critical thing to finance is balance, is always having a balanced approach, whether it be your portfolio, your goals, your risk management. Keeping everything in proper balance is very important. And whenever we get in trouble, it tends to be when we focus too much in one area and get out of balance. And sometimes that is a recipe for a lot of success, but a lot of times it's a recipe for, loss. It's very important to have balance.
I think life sometimes is just really, really hard, to balance everything that we touch in life. Life is hard, and managing monies and doing the right thing and making the right decisions and conquering the roller coasters. I mean, that's a lot. A human being really has a lot to manage. Yeah?
Absolutely.
But yes.
That's another reason why you need a plan. although the plan probably will never come out to be the way you designed it. A plan is not a fixed document, you have it and that's it, but the plan is a point of departure where you start, and then you measure your progress and you make adjustments, and as your life changes, your plan evolves and changes over time. That's why it's very important to have that relationship with someone that can help you with that.
Right. So we're really looking at the long-term care, We're looking at helping women, women that really like to educate them as far as investments and really overall their holistic needs. That's what we're really doing, you know?
So absolutely.
What do you think about educating, going into schools and educating some of the students? How open do you think schools would be with something like that?
Well, I've been guest speaker in high schools before. They've come in, but it's mostly about career. They want you to come in and talk about this as a career, not necessarily about the details of money management. I think there's a really need for that, but it's very, very scarce that you find that. It's unfortunate.
I mean, do they have programs where kids learn about checking accounts, kids learn about how the system functions, or the interconnection within the system, and what a credit report is, and how everything is connected? Once a credit card is handed out to you, when somebody gives you credit, what can I tell you? Yeah, that's, is that something that the schools have?
Not really.
No.
Quite frankly.
Much needed.
I have a lot of work to do, a lot of thinking and designing to do, and I want to thank both of you, Catherine, Philip, for coming here today. I want to thank my listeners for tuning in today. Wealth Management. I'm Marietta Camera. I'm your Life Progress Guide host. Thank you, Bob Small. And that's it for today. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490.